just been encouraged already by what's been shared tonight. And just in the recent times with the Greers being here, just the ministry that we've seen and just been under with the Greers being here, just something that God is stirring in our hearts. And just with things that have gone down in recent times within the church, shaking that's gone on, I really feel that God has laid something on my heart to share tonight. And what I want to speak tonight about is living in forgiveness, living in forgiveness. And I want to look at a well-known piece of scripture, and we'll flight it just now, and it's about the story of Joseph, a well-known story. And I want to just go through that tonight. And just before we look at the scripture, I want to just paint the picture first. We see that Joseph is the son of Jacob, is the favorite son of Jacob. And he's become prime minister in Egypt. He's got the top position in the country. He's become prime minister. And his 11 brothers have come to buy food. There's a famine in the land. And the 11 brothers have come to buy food. And they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And I'm sure when he saw them, I'm sure he thought, well, now it's time to get even with these brothers of mine. Some 22 years before that, we see that, Jacob wasn't a good father. He gave favoritism. He gave his son a coat of many colors. And the 11 brothers were jealous of him, and they wanted to kill him. And fortunately for Joseph, they didn't. They sold him off into slavery. They then took the coat of many colors, dipped it in the blood of an animal, and said to the father, "A wild animal has devoured your son." And Jacob responds to this. He's broken, and his words are, "I'm going to take this to the grave. This is just beyond me. I'm going to take it to the grave." Well, the brothers thought they'd got away with it. They thought, well, we got through this one. But the Bible says, beware, your sins will find you out. Beware, your sins will catch up on you. And some 22 years later, there's a famine in the land, and they come to buy food. And they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And they come into his presence, and then he beckons his attendants to leave, because he doesn't want to taint their... He doesn't reveal their reputation, doesn't want to reveal what's happened. And he tells the attendants to leave. And for some, I think tonight, there might be some in the congregation tonight that you probably have gone through some heinous things in your life. You might even be going through some stuff now in your life. And you are thinking to yourself, when will justice be done? When are people going to be brought to book for the things that they've done against me? And then when we look at the life of Joseph, yes, at one time he wanted to throw the book at them, he wanted to get even with them, he wanted to clap them six love for what they've done. But we see that he just starts to weep. God did already something in his heart, and he starts to weep. And we'll pick up the story in Genesis 45 from verse 1 to 8, if you can flight that for us. Genesis 45, 1 to 8. And it says that then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified of his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one that you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me father to Pharaoh, lord of the entire household, and ruler of Egypt. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that we can look at your word tonight. We thank you that we can look at the life of Joseph. And Lord, at the outset, as we look at the scriptures tonight, and as we look at this issue of living in forgiveness, as we look at the issue of moving from unforgiveness into living in forgiveness, Father, that you will enable us tonight and strengthen us tonight to be able to forgive those that have done things against us. We too, Lord, want to create time later today, later this evening, that where there are some in the house that have never, ever given their lives to you, they've never asked you for forgiveness, they've never bowed the knee to you, that tonight, Lord, that you would stir the hearts of those to make that commitment and to come into your fold and to live into eternity with you. In Jesus' name. Well, to start with, I want to just share a bit of a story, my own story. A number of years ago, it's 30 years now that Margot and I got married, and I had a retail business in Port Elizabeth. It was in the Warmer Park Shopping Center. It was just outside one of the anchor tenants in the center, and it was a good business, and at the time that we got married, we moved to Cape Town, and we sold the business. Unfortunately, the person who bought the business from me didn't pay for it, and that posed some complications and things for us because I was still bound by the lease. I had a very hectic lease to pay every month, and that was going to be for the next 2 years. So it was quite a heavy thing hanging over us starting our marriage like this. At the time, I wasn't a believer. We used to go to a church in Rondebosch, and at the same time, a good friend of mine, Mark Manley, used to invite us to his, we used to call it a cell group then, New Covenant Ministries. Was a cell group, was a community. So for about 6 months, we'd visit his cell group, visit his com, and at the same time, we'd go to this other church. And the one morning at this church, the minister stood up and he gave the parable of the master who forgave the servant a sizable debt. And in turn, that servant did not forgive the fellow servant for the debt that was owed to him. And it impacted me. It really struck a chord in my heart. I wasn't a believer. I mean, in those days, you didn't get mad. You got even. I just wanted to take this guy out for all the money that he owed us. But God did something in my heart that day. And when we walked out of that meeting that morning, I said to Margot, I'm going to release this guy from the debt. I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to forgive him and move on. I wasn't a believer, but in reflecting back to that time, I really believe that it was a start of me coming to know the Lord. God works in wonderful ways. And sometimes the very things that we idolize and chase after would become strangely dim and taken from us. And so I really believe it was a start for me coming to know the Lord. For some of you, yeah, you might have been through some hectic things in your life. And there might even be some here that are still going through some serious things in your life. You might have been abused as a child. You might have been raped. Or you might have had somebody misrepresent you and lie about you. There might even be some people here tonight that you have done something in your past and you've never, ever been able to forgive yourself for what you've done. You've carried this in your heart for years and for years and for years. And there are many instances where someone lives through the most heinous things, which are totally undeserved. It's not your fault. And where you've been quite literally been at the mercy of a ruthless and angry person, and you are now living in the consequences of what happened then. But God would ask of you today, would you forgive and move on? There might be some that would say, Lee, but you don't understand what I've been through. the challenge that I've been through and the thing that I'm going through, I cannot forgive the person for what they've done to me. And yes, I don't. I don't understand, and I don't know what a lot of you have been through, and I'm sure that there's some in the house here that have been through things that have been far hectic than what I have had to endure and have had to go through. But God knows, and God knows each situation. And I sense that tonight, and some of the words that have been coming out already, that tonight God is going to give us the strength to be able to forgive the perpetrators of those things against us. Because sometimes things happen to us that we cannot do it in our own strength. But in God's strength, it can come about. I wonder if you can flight that Isaiah 40, 29 and 31. God will give us the strength. It says, He, that's God, gives us a strength to the weary, and He increases the power of the weak. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. There are many in the audience tonight that it's a favorite scripture of yours, but it's such a powerful scripture. And then 2 Corinthians, I wonder if you can fly 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10. It says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. By allowing God tonight to give you the strength, tonight He will take the pain away from you, and He'll give you the strength to be able to forgive those that have perpetrated things against you. R.T. Kendall says this. He says, the greater the suffering, the greater the anointing. The greater the suffering that you've had to endure, the greater the anointing waits for you, says R.T. Kendall. And there is a call for us tonight to forgive and to move on. When you want to limit the movement of a horse, when you want to stop a horse from running, you hamstring it. So some of the equestrian types in the audience tonight, I can see somebody smiling. So when you want to stop a horse from running, you take a halter, you put it on the horse, you take the lead, and you tie the rein to the front leg of the horse, but just short enough so that it can walk, and just enough so that it can graze and walk, but it can't run. And I had a sense tonight in just thinking about this issue of living in forgiveness, that tonight is going to be a night that God is not only going to remove the rein and loosen the rein in lives of people tonight, but He's going to totally take off that halter and totally set us free. Because the Word of God tells us that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Did you know, and I was just reminded of this recently when the Greers were here, that unforgiveness, holding a grudge against people, can be unhelpful, can be harmful to your health. It can cause blood pressure, heart disease, arthritis, sugar diabetes, you name it. And I'm not saying that if anybody has those ailments tonight, it's because of unforgiveness, but there could well be a link. There could well be a link regarding unforgiveness and the illness that you are walking with at the moment. Forgiveness can release the physiological process that got you to the state that you are in today. And unforgiveness can be a door for the devil to come in and to enter in. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 speaks about, do not let the sun go down. One translation said, do not let the sun go down, finding you nursing and rehearsing a grudge. How so easily we would nurse and rehearse things. Things happen to us, and then we nurse and rehearse, and we go round and round the same mountain time, and it could be insignificant things. Johnny in standard 6 swiped my sarmies, and still today I'm walking with a limp, and I'm miffed with Johnny for swiping my sarmies. We see that Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. If the devil has a place in your heart, you've given it to him. You might not have been aware of that. You might not be aware that you've given the devil place. Or you could have given the devil place through negligence. In other words, you refuse to exercise the authority that you have as a believer. You've been negligent. In other words, you refuse to do what was right. You gave way to the devil. And then disobedience. You knew what the word said, and you refused to do it. Therefore, you opened the door for the devil. We see that forgiveness, it's not an option, it's a necessity. Forgiveness, it's not an option, it's a necessity. We need to forgive. The enemy loves it when we hold a grudge against somebody. Just some of the words coming through tonight, just a reminder of some things that the enemy would cling on to us. It's reminded recently of the thing of criticism can bring barrenness. Think about that. Criticism, when you're critical, it can bring barrenness in your life. Total forgiveness is an act of the will. The very moment you totally forgive somebody for what they've done to you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a new way, in a fresh way, and enable you, give you the strength to let things go and to forgive people for what they've done. Like that knee-halted horse, you've walked with a limp, and you've walked with that knee halter on you, and you've walked with that halter on you. But God tonight wants to set us free and allow us to move on. How do you know that you have forgiven? How do you know that you've forgiven somebody? Well, firstly, you tell nobody of what they've done to you. In other words, something happens to you, don't badmouth the person, go to somebody else and take it to the Lord. Obviously, if there are legal issues and there are criminal intent in a situation, obviously, that people need to be brought to book, that's something different. But take the issue to the Lord. The Lord will remind us that vengeance is mine. The second point is, don't avoid people or let them feel afraid of you. Again, you look at Joseph's life. Just the example of Joseph, where he says to his brothers, come close to me. And then we see that perfect love drives out all fear. Love keeps no records of wrongs. We need to stop pointing the finger at the people that have perpetrated things against us. Three fingers will point back to us when we do that. When you point a finger, three fingers point back to us. Third issue is don't let people feel guilty of what they've done. Again, we see the situation with Joseph and his brothers. He says to them, don't be angry with yourselves. Bitterness will follow you to the grave. Some might say, well, you know what, I forgive you, but I hope you feel bad about what you've done. That's not forgiveness. We need to just let it go. Bitterness. My own family, my parents. I had a brother who was older than me. At the age of 18, he was killed in a car smash. He was in the passenger seat. His friend was driving the car. And the other friend was in the back of the car. And a car coming at high speed smashed into the passenger door where my brother was sitting. And he was killed. He was killed outright. And they took that thing to the grave. They never came to terms with the loss of their son. They could never forgive. They could never move on. They just to the grave, literally. Years and years and years and years. They took that thing with them. And they never let it go. They never let it go. If you want a minor victory in your situation, forgive somebody the minute they say they're sorry. You'll have a minor victory in your situation. If you want a major victory in your situation, forgive the person even before they know what they've done. And you'll receive a major victory. I think the important thing as well tonight, that after this time, after this meeting tonight, don't go up to somebody and say to them, hey, I forgive you. Because they might not know what you're talking about. So let me explain. So somebody might come say, hey, bro, I forgive you. And bro's going to say, for what? And you say, hey, bro, you know what? And the bro's going to say, no, I don't, eh? And you're going to say, hey, bro, well, you should know, and I hope you feel, and then a whole waterlog starts. Don't do that. So after the meeting, maybe don't go up to bro tonight. Maybe pray about it. The word of God says a soft word breaks the bone, and a gentle word will stir away wrath. Take the issue to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. The fourth point, let people save face and protect their fragile egos. Don't rub their noses in what they've done to you. Don't do that. Be gracious and give them a way out. Be gracious, like Joseph said to his brothers, gives them a way out. Said to them, don't be angry with yourselves. God, just God, has sent me ahead of you. The fifth issue is this. Forgiveness is ongoing. It's not a once-off event. It's ongoing. Why? Because things will recur and come again and again and again. Mr. Joe Soap is going to offend you, and you've got to forgive him, and it'll happen again and again and again. Just a bit of a doff analogy. No name, no petrol. You might have a control freak in the house who likes to squeeze the toothpaste tube very nicely from the bottom. He likes to make sure the top of the toothpaste is on neatly. He likes to put it down in a certain way, toothpaste in a certain way. Where somebody... What did I say? Amen. But there might be somebody else in the house that decides it's time to clean my teeth. And they take the top, and the top shoots off this way. It might end in the toilet. And then the toothpaste tube gets grabbed in the middle, and it gets used like a sponge. It's pushed, like half the toothpaste gets spattered on the basin and it never gets wiped away. And the balance of the toothpaste might, part of it might get to the, it'll be the small foxes. It sounds like a dwarf analogy, but it'll be the small foxes that will destroy the vines. For years and years, I was involved in the fruit industry, and there was a very obvious reason why they planted grapes. So we used to go into the vineyards, and they have these beautiful grapes, red globe grapes, and sunlit seedless, beautiful export grapes. And they were normally grown, the bottom of the grapes were about that high from the ground. Why? Because it's obviously easy to pick. You don't have to climb on a ladder to reach them. And they also, the other reason is this, they're not very low down because of the foxes. The foxes would come in, and they love grapes, by the way. And they will chow the grapes. But the wily foxes, what they do, they gnaw at the roots of that vineyard. And it falls down, and then they chow the grapes anyway. We can't allow the small foxes to destroy the vines. When Peter came to Jesus, said, how many times must I forgive? 7 times? And the Lord responds, 77 times. You're going to forgive till the day I come back for you. The sixth point is this. We need to bless those. Not only forgive them, but we need to forgive those that have done things against us. So you can say, but leave it. What happens if the Lord does bless them? What's it to you? We need to forgive them, and we need to bless them. The Word of God says, vengeance is mine. It's not us, not for us. It's hard. It's not an easy thing at times. God allows us to go up the miff tree now and again. But He just doesn't want us to make a tree house there. He doesn't want us to stay there. But to continue to forgive and to move on. The Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And then forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I was reminded just Derek Prince recently, I saw a preach that he did about the cross. And the representation of the cross is just such a wonderful reminder of forgiveness. The horizontal part of the cross, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. And then the vertical section of the cross, as we forgive others who trespass against us. The cross is just such a reminder of forgiveness. We will see that revival will break out when we start walking in forgiveness. Many years ago, it was in 1956, there's a story of Jim Elliot, who him and 4 other men, they went to the Orca Indians in Ecuador, went to evangelize these guys. And they were hostile, they were aggressive, they had in fact killed many other people before. But Jim Elliot and his friends decided, led by the Lord, that they had to go and evangelize these people. And while they were there, these guys hunted them down on a beach, and they killed them on the beach. They threw spears at them, and they murdered them on the beach. The incredible thing with the story that just shook me was, J- Just 2 years after that event, Jim Elliot's wife, out of a total forgiveness, decides to go back to those same people that killed her husband on the beach, the same people that murdered him, threw spears at him and killed him on the beach. She went back to them and in fact lived amongst them. And we saw that many, many, many of these Orca Indians came back and came to the Lord through that. So I want to say that when we start walking in forgiveness and when we start living in forgiveness, we will see a revival break out. We will see people come to the Lord. We need to change our hearts. We need to ask the Lord to give us the strength tonight to forgive those that have done things against us. I want to finish with a quote by Jim Elliot. It says, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So tonight, I want us to respond to the Word of God. I want us to respond. You've heard about the story of Joseph as he was, his brothers wanted to take him out, but yet he chose to forgive them. And so tonight I want to appeal to two groups of people here tonight. On the one, I want to appeal to those that have never, ever given their lives to Jesus. You've never, ever asked the Lord for forgiveness. You've never, ever repented of your sins. You've never, ever turned from your ways. And Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, I will forgive you your sin if you just come to me and bow the knee to you. The Word of God would also remind us that if we accept Him as Lord and Savior, if we declare Him and honor Him before man, He will honor us before God. And so I wonder if we, if while Margot plays, I want to pray for that first. So if there's anybody in the house tonight, I wonder, while the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if there is somebody in the house tonight that you need Jesus to forgive you, you need to come to the Lord tonight. If there is somebody here tonight that is, you've never ever made a public declaration, you've never ever accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, there's an opportunity now to do that. We're not going to make a spectacle. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But we do want you just to lift your hands and say, "I need Jesus." We accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. The Word of God tells us we are saved by His grace through faith. And so, again, I want to ask, if there is somebody here tonight, you've heard about some of the things we've spoken about as far as forgiveness and forgiving others, but in essence, you have never, ever forgiven the Lord, and you've never turned from your ways, and you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Is there somebody here tonight? We always want to make sure that we do that and we ensure that people know the Lord. So is there somebody here tonight that has never, ever given their lives to Jesus? Is there somebody here tonight? Let's just give it a few seconds. Is there somebody here tonight who's never accepted, they've never bowed the knee to Jesus, they've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior of their lives? Is there somebody like that here tonight? The second group of folk that I want to pray for tonight, and it involves all of us, that there might be some people in the house tonight that you're still carrying some unforgiveness in your life, in your heart. There's still things that have happened, could have happened recently, could have happened a long time ago, irrespective of how big or small the issue is. Won't you lay it at the foot of the cross tonight? I want to just ask if you would be brave. If there are some that do not feel brave enough to come out, just where you are, just bow the knee and give it to Jesus. I don't want anybody laying hands on anybody, but it's just a time where we can just come before the Lord, bow the head to the Lord and say, "Father, give me the strength to help me forgive those people that have perpetrated and done some heinous things against us. While Mark just plays on the keys for us, you're welcome to come up to the front. You're welcome to just come and kneel down in front. There might have been things in your life that you've done yourself. There might be things that you've done yourself which you've never been able to forgive yourself for. So we want to create a moment to that as well. Allow the opportunity to God and just come and wash over us. Strengthen us, God. Strengthen us. Give us the strength to help us to forgive ourselves and the strength to forgive those that have done things against us. I wonder if you'll come to the front, anybody that would just come and bow the knee before the King. Say, Lord, we can only forgive and move on if you give us the strength to do that, if you enable us to do that. And there have been things in my own life in the past where I think I've dealt with it and I've come to terms with what God has, I've let it go. But there would be times when I'm reflecting on this message tonight, that God stirred things in my heart and reminded me things way, way back, that He wants us to live free. Like that knee-halted horse, like that horse that has been bound, God is wanting to just release that rein, release that halter, and allow us to walk into freedom. And I've just mentioned tonight, just a couple of things. And there might be many, many others, many, many other issues that people are wrestling with. Earlier, Dion and I spoke, and I'm going to ask him to come up in a minute just to share regarding the issue of healing. And so we'll continue that while Mark plays in the keys. I wonder if you would just bow before the King tonight and ask Him just to strengthen you, to give you the ability, because some things, well, I found in my own life, I was not able to forgive in my own strength. I was not able to let it go. Only God can give us the strength and the ability to say sorry. And even after tonight, the last thing I want to say is, there might be some that you've heard what's gone down tonight, and maybe in your mind you're thinking, yeah, I think I need to forgive so-and-so and so-and-so, whoever that might be. But in your heart, you're just saying, I can't. I just can't. I just can't let this go. When we start just speaking those words of forgiveness, the power of the tongue will bring life, or it will bring death. And when we start speaking life, when we start speaking words of forgiveness over our situations, God will start enabling us to overcome and to be strong enough to forgive those people and to move on.